Like every bank, there's a time every day when we stop making loans. But at Iroquois Federal, we never stop making a difference. Thanks to an amazing team of employees who give back to their local communities all over Central Illinois. From hospital boards and local school programs to Kiwanis and the United Way, Iroquois Federal employees donated more than 1,000 volunteer hours last year. And we'll do it again next year, because the only thing we like more than making a loan is making a difference. Iroquois Federal, still friendly, still local, still here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Every year on November 11th, the United States of America proudly celebrates Veterans Day. And at Muhammad Christian Church, we are very grateful for the men and the women who protect and preserve our freedom. And we recognize all veterans and salute our armed forces every day of the year. And this year, allow us to make those days special as we present the Muhammad Christian Church 18th Annual Living Flag. And you are cordially invited to join us as we are celebrating life, liberty, and the freedom of worship with our award-winning Living Flag Celebration. This year, we are presenting our Living Flag on Friday, November 3rd at 7 p.m., Saturday, November 4th at 2 o'clock and 7 o'clock, and our finale, Sunday, November 5th at 5 p.m. And in our lobby after each performance, as you greet and thank our veterans and our active military, we will be serving dessert and refreshments. Muhammad Christian Church, 908 North Lake of the Woods Road, across from the Lake of the Woods Golf Course. And for more information, please visit MuhammadChristian.org.
Hey John, remember when Dick Van Dyke had their one day only New Year's Day sale?
And people looked forward to it all year long.
Well, between ice storms, that must-see College Bowl game, and travel plans.
And a terrible headache from the night before.
Yeah, well, that 6 day sale does end today.
Not much time left, but plenty of value.
Including the big brands like GE, Frigidaire, Electrolux, Speed Queen, and Bosch. Price like you'll never see again for another 12 months.
Washers and dryers starting at $469.99. Ranges starting at $579.99. Most of the appliances they offer are backed by their free 10-year protection plan.
So drive carefully, set the DVR, bring the family.
And knock back a pot of coffee if you need to.
Because that 6 day sale does end today at Dick Van Dyke.
This is Dennis Regan, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Today is the final day of savings on everything. Your best New Year's sale deal is waiting for you today. Wow!
Big Van Dyke Appliance World. When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Let's get to the Tapman's Towing phone line. Luke Altmaier, your quarterback for the Illini. This segment brought to you by Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend, First Federal Savings Bank, local and trusted. Crossroads Contractor Supply, the right tools when you need it. Brian Hansen at State Farm Insurance. Visit brianismyguy.com. And Carpenters Local 243. Luke, how you doing? Thanks for joining us as always.
I'm doing well. Thank you guys for having me.
Were you part of that atmosphere last night at State Farm Center?
No, I wasn't. Sadly, not. I was actually. We were up here doing some preparation for Minnesota coming up. So I hate I had to miss that.
I bet. Have you? Well, you haven't probably attended a basketball game. Are you looking for? I know you and Luke Goody, pretty good buddies. Are you looking forward to going to see the basketball team play a few times?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I got here last January, so I caught a few games. Yeah, so I caught a few games. I caught the Michigan game, too, the back half of the season, which was really, really, really cool. I think it was an overtime game. And yeah, they're a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to going to some more.
Has Goody told you about the dislike for Hunter Dickinson and how that's got to be ingrained in your soul now, like everybody else that wears orange and blue?
I've heard a lot about it, yeah. Just about being at the Michigan game last year, I could just tell, like, the animosity there. So I'm sure it's just growing and growing, especially from that Kansas game.
Well, Luke, how'd the bye week treat you? What was your focus going into it, and how do you feel like for yourself and the team that it was – productive, whether it's just, you know, healing up, or, you know, what did you guys accomplish, you feel like?
Yeah, I think it was super productive in a lot of ways. I think everybody on the team, you know, had their own goals, you know, within the bye week and their personal lives and obviously within the team. You know, I think we all got better and different in some capacities on the field, off the field. And I think the point of emphasis, I think, in a lot of ways was just rest for our bodies, you know, going 8 straight weeks and, you know, in the Big Ten is can be taxing. And, yeah, I think the rest was good, but also we got a lot of good work on the field too. And, you know, we're very, very confident in these back four games of our season to win every single one of them. We really are.
It's funny, Luke, sometimes during when my youngest son or my oldest son at the time, when they were in the heart of their athletic season and, you know, you're doing your work, you're doing your job, you've got other things going on. There were times where I would just tell myself when I woke up, all right, tonight is a catch-up night. You're going to sit down at the table after dinner. You're going to figure out what all you need to be doing. What bills do I need to be paying? What am I supposed to be? Is that kind of like it is for you guys as students as well? It's kind of a chance to just kind of take a breath, I guess, in the middle of a season and just kind of catch up, make sure you got everything else in order.
Yeah, I think that's a good analogy. Honestly, you know, you kind of have a week, you know, kind of put your focus towards, you know, some different areas of your life. And, you know, being a student, obviously, you know, focusing on school and making sure everything's squared away with that and different areas within your families and, you know, making sure you're talking to those people and, you know, friends and different things. But, yeah, I think it's definitely a catch up week in a lot of areas, but, you know, also, you know, getting better within the building here in the football world too, and making sure we're not getting too behind and, you know, staying on top of things.
And just eating a bunch of crap food. Is that what you guys do? That's what I would do.
Yeah, I can't lie. I did dabble into not so great food choices, but.
Well, it's Halloween. It's just candy everywhere.
Well, yeah,
it's
exactly.
Tough. Luke Altmaier is our guest. Tapman's towing phone line. Sounds like you and Luke Goody got a chance to hang out a little bit.
Yeah, we actually we went duck hunting. What day was that? What day? I don't even know. This Monday, so we went Saturday. We went Saturday morning. So yeah, the opening day was on our bye week, and you know we went duck hunting, and you know killed a few birds. And Sunday morning, some people went to the same spots that we know of and killed a lot. So yeah, me and Goody have been growing a relationship here and there. We have some mutual friends. He knows a lot of guys on the team, so he's great. You know, he's obviously a great player on the team, but you know, just a great dude. I've met his dad now, and yeah, looking forward to growing that relationship and doing some more hunting with him.
We know who's probably the better shot on the basketball court, but who's the better shot with the gun taking down some ducks?
It's got to be me. You know, growing up in the South, you know, if you don't have a good shot, then you know something's wrong with you.
We do have Goody on tomorrow, so we're gonna ask for a rebuttal to see if.
That's funny. I'll just see what he says.
You guys do, I assume, do quite a bit of hunting down in Mississippi.
Oh yeah, you grow up. That's what you do when you grow up. I mean. You know, luckily my dad and, you know, my grandparents, that's what they did and knew a lot of people that hunted. So I naturally just fell right into it and have done it as long as I've lived and, just love it. You know, it gives me an opportunity to kind of just, you know, have an opportunity to be out and, you know, God's creation, Amen. You know, nature, just be able to be quiet for a little bit and, you know, talk to some people you love and do something really fun too. You know, it's just so much fun and, you know, gives you a chance to reflect in a lot of ways.
Have you ever hunted a gopher?
Never. I don't even know if I've ever seen a gopher.
Okay. Well, you're going to see one, I guess, this Saturday. So, an oversized one. So don't be hunting him. You might be getting in trouble there. What are we thinking for Minnesota? What I know this is a team that when I think of Minnesota, I think of big boys up front that like to run the football. But obviously you're on the offensive side looking at that defense. What are we thinking about Minnesota? What are we expecting with that?
Yeah, they'll be a good, talented group, physical group. You know, being in the Big Ten West, you're going to face talented and physical groups. And, you know, Minnesota definitely embodies that. And they'll give us a challenge and that different teams haven't, and a lot of great players, but at the end of the day. You know, I think it's all about the people in this building here at Illinois, you know, how we prepare, how we execute our game plan coming up. And if we do that, we'll be in good shape to come out with a win. We really believe that.
Luke, it's, you know, the six is always the magical number, right? If you get to six, you know you're going bowling. And obviously anything more than that is just a better bowl. And I've always wondered, for you guys as a team, do you think about six? Do you think about the bowls? Is that the incentive? In other words, you know you got four games left. You've got three wins. So if you just take care of three of these four, you guys are going to be at least going somewhere for an extra game. Is that more of like fans worrying about stuff like that? Or do you guys kind of set your sights on that? And so you still essentially have a lot to play for, knowing that you could still get to six or seven wins.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that can be the mindset, you know, within the building. But, you know, before the year, you just have so many high expectations for your team in general, and I know this team did too. And with you know, wanting just to win a whole lot of games, and obviously it hadn't played out that way, but we know we have four right in front of us that can really go our way, and we're very confident in doing that. But you know, I think Coach B and a lot of guys in the building, you know, we don't look ahead to week 12, week 11, or anything like that.
Sure.
If we do that, we'll miss the opportunity that we have coming up, and you know, we'll let the chips fall where they fall. But obviously, we know that's in play. But you know, ultimately, the goal is to, you know, just to win today, win Monday, win Tuesday, and ultimately we'll win Saturday.
Luke, I wanted to ask you, because we didn't get a chance to talk to you last week. Obviously, you had the bye week, but and you've probably had a chance as a team to put it behind you. But the Wisconsin game, what was the emotion like, or just the disappointment? Just the way that game ended for you guys.
Yeah, obviously, you know, it'd be what you would think. You know, the locker room was really disappointed with us being so close there to coming out with a really, really big win at home and at homecoming. And, you know, for, you know, almost the entirety of the game, we felt like it was ours, you know, completely. Where there's a ton of confidence flowing throughout our sideline, and I know throughout the stadium, and we were doing a lot of good things on offense. Defense was playing well, and you know, some things happened that, you know, we can't control. And you know, I think offense we stalled out a little bit there at the end, and you know, the offense, and you know, myself and a lot of guys take ownership of that. There's things that we could have done to you know, just to score one more touchdown. And I think that's just what we needed, you know, to get to 28 to help out our defense there. And, you know, got to find a way to just stay consistent, not get complacent. And that's just what we needed. We needed just one more touchdown for us to have a really big win there. So it was obviously disappointing letting that one slip away. But you learn from it. You grow from it. I know I am, and how I can be better to maximize that opportunity is it'll come, you know, come ahead here in the future, so it won't happen again. But you know, you take that experience, you learn from it, you don't dwell on it, and you know, you move on at the end of the day.
Last one for you, Luke. As you look at this last four game stretch, I'm sure the obvious is you want to win as much as possible, do whatever it takes to win. But within your own game, is there anything that you're focused on to try to get more out of, or just really emphasizing so that you guys are in a position to do that as you go forward in this last stretch of the season?
Yeah, I think most definitely. That's something that's the focus every single week, is, you know, finding little nicks and crannies of how I can get better within my game. And, you know, I think the whole season has been a learning process of that, and getting a feel for, you know, just playing again, and, you know, finding that confidence, you know, within myself as a player. And, you know, I think each week there's just something different. You know, sometimes, you know, the same things kind of show up that, you know, I need to work on and get better at, whether that's within the pocket and, you know, having a better presence there, and, you know, so helping out, so I can help out my offensive line and in different areas, and, you know, just ultimately just playing with trust in my eyes, trust in, you know, the position that Coach Lenny has put me in, and trust in the people around me. And, you know, I think that's the biggest thing that, you know, that'll come to me with, as I just keep playing. And, you know, I think that's the goal for me, is to play with that trust, you know, trusting my training, trusting, you know, my teammates around me, trusting my eyes and what the defense is giving me. So the game will really slow down and making sure that my eyes are in the right spot so I can make good decisions and put my team in good positions.
Keep trusting those legs, dude. You're quicker than snot, man. I don't know how you got out of some of those kind of spots you were in against Wisconsin. I thought one time you were going to get sacked. You end up getting like 15. So that was really – I don't know if that was the game plan going into the Badgers, but you utilized it well.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. I kind of surprised myself in some ways too there. But, yeah, I mean, if I can help my team out with my legs, I'm all for it. But, there's some opportunities that, I used my legs when I didn't have to, and there were certain things I could have done to, distribute the ball to sure. one of my receivers or whatever it may be. But, I'm going to go compete, whatever that looks like for our team.
All right, my man, this is the last one for me. As you know, I'm taking my son down to Oxford. I need a good pizza place to eat Friday afternoon.
Good pizza place. Okay. I was St. Leo on the Square.
Okay.
Is a great place. Old Venice on the Square is a great pizza place.
Got it.
Anywhere on the Square is just great food overall, but right there, St. Leo is kind of a more a fancier type restaurant, so may not want to go there, but Old Venice and also Proud Larry's. Proud Larry's is a great one on the Square, too. Those are great, three great pizza places.
Boom. Man, three on the Square. Maybe we'll just hit them all, just have a slice in every one of them. What the what the heck?
Might as well.
Well, Luke, I'm looking forward to going down there and seeing Oxford for sure, and looking forward to Illinois and Brett Bielema. I don't think he's ever lost to Minnesota, so hopefully that trend continues and you guys get right before getting back home. It's always good to visit, my friend. And good luck this weekend.
Thank you. I really appreciate you guys.
All right, buddy. Luke Altmaier. Let's go.
Once again, brought to you by Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend, First Federal Savings Bank, local and trusted. Crossroads Contractor Supply, the right tools when you need it. Brian Hansen at State Farm Insurance. Visit brianismyguy.com and by Carpenters Local 243.
2018, when I went down to Oxford, I did eat pizza on the Square at one of those. I think it was the St. Leo's. That's when Ole Miss took on SIU. Southern was winning at half. And I think I've told you this. The two wide receivers for Ole Miss that year, A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf. Oh, are you gosh. Kidding me? Metcalf lined up, and I was like, who's that dude? Like, he's bigger than defensive lineman at SIU. And now he's in the NFL, and he's bigger than defensive lineman in the NFL.
Incredible.
He is huge.
And the season that A.J. Brown is having.
Oh.
Wow.
They ended up winning that game like 76-41. But, yeah, Southern was up at half. I remember the Ole Miss fans around us were like, y'all pretty good. I'm like, I don't think y'all are very good. Nothing against my dogs, but we're not supposed to be battling you here at halftime. And they were super nice people, though. The Grove, baby. I'm hitting the Grove again. I'm excited. I'm excited to walk around campus, see everything. It's going to be fun.
I've heard it's a great spot.
Yeah.
I'd like to go check it out sometime for sure.
Jump in the car.
SEC football.
Yeah, baby.
I need to experience it.
Yeah, they play Texas A&M, so excited about that. I had somebody the other day, like, what is that, like 12-hour drive? I'm like, nah, it's 7 hours. I don't know. I mean, like, I think you should get away. Not just you, but there's no reason to, like, jump down to Columbia for an SEC game. It's 4 hours.
Yeah.
Or Kentucky or Vanderbilt. I know Vanderbilt's kind of a – everybody beats up on Vanderbilt squad, but you can probably get a good ticket to see Alabama or, sure. you know, if you've sure. ever wanted to see the a team like that or LSU or something in person. I mean, it's harder. The tickets are very expensive at Tennessee and Georgia, obviously, and Alabama and Auburn and such, but
LSU,
but that's not that far of a drive to go kind of just experience another way of how fans tailgate and how fans take in and the chance that they do. And I just, I think it's cool. And I know Andrew's really got his eyes set on Ole Miss as a college that he'd probably like to attend. And I told him I'll be there every week for tailgates. Not every week because they're on the road sometimes.
Let's get him a 24/7 sports profile. So I'm going to put the crystal ball in.
Let's go.
Crystal ball to Ole Miss.
baseball teams, Ole Miss baseball, having their biggest recruiting weekend of the year.
Yeah, and that's why he's going down, right?
Yeah, the guy, the coach.
Special invite.
Coach goes, we got 17 recruits in town. I'm like, well, now you got 18, big boy. No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all.
Oh, man. Good stuff. All right, if you want to weigh in, you can, 217-359-2255 on the U of I Landlink text line. We'll circle back for those that had comments on the Illinois-Kansas exhibition game. More thoughts on that if you want to get Kyle's take. If you do or you don't, make sure you stick with us on that. But we'll talk some more hoops. We'll play a little bit of Brad Underwood before we get out of here. But let's transition back to the hardwood, which we'll do next. It is The Drive.
At Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery, we're flooring people with amazing service, great design advice, and unbeatable selection and the best prices in town. It's the perfect time to update your home with waterproof flooring, carpet, hardwood, tile, and more. Then complete your rooms by shopping our incredible selection of furniture and accessories. We also offer great financing options. Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery, we're flooring people.
Mom, she won't stop touching me. Broccoli stinks.
Guys, no phones at the table.
Family dinner time? Not easy. But you know what is easy? OSF On-Call Urgent Care. When you need convenient, affordable care for minor illnesses and injuries, you need OSF On-Call Urgent Care. Be seen in person or connect 24/7 online when and where you need it. Learn more at osfoncall.org/urgentcare.
Frask International in Urbana is a legacy founded in 1958 by aviation pioneer Rudy Frasca with a mission of improving safety in the skies. Over 60 years later, Frasca is committed to providing the best simulation equipment available with superior quality and a personal approach to service and support. Would you like to make a difference in your job? Frasca is looking for an accountant, a CNC machinist, manufacturing and electrical engineer, electronics design associate, and customer service support. Positions for software, aeronautical, mechanical engineer, and machine shop finisher are also available. Positions include an extraordinary benefits package. The perfect fit will enjoy full-time benefits with paid time off, holidays, a 401k, and a Monday through Friday schedule. For details, call 217-344-9200. As an equal opportunity employer, you can learn more about the application process at frasca.com/careers.
Urbana's Market at the Square has been cultivating a vibrant scene in CU since 1979. Get to know your farmers bringing locally harvested honey, crafts, jewelry, art, fresh-cut flowers, plus produce including fresh leafy greens and root vegetables, fresh baked treats, and a wide selection of proteins. Going on now, every Saturday, 7 a.m. till noon, rain or shine at Illinois and Vine, it's Urbana Market at the Square. Find Urbana Market on Facebook or urbanamarket.org.
By now, you've all heard the expression, when you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481 for PDR Automotive. They are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR. But who are they? They, the PDR staff, understand that a name is only as good as the people that represent it. The PDR staff has more than 335 years of combined automotive experience. Several employees now on staff for more than 25 years. PDR, more than just a name. Family owned and operated, now celebrating over 50 years in business.
Back on The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Let's transition to hoops. Like we said before the break, Illinois 82, number one Kansas 75. That sounds pretty good to a lot of people around here. Could maybe set the tone for what's ahead when they count. Coming up next is Eastern Illinois in about a week from now. I think it is exactly a week from today. They'll be tipping off the season opener, and just a few weeks down the road, you got Marquette coming to town, a top 10 team. So in terms of a lot of people wondering what it would look like, Hunter Dickinson coming back, a talented Kansas team. Illinois led for 36 of the 40 minutes. So it wasn't just, hey, they pulled away at the end. They were in the driver's seat pretty much throughout. So a really encouraging performance. More to break down from that for sure. More text to get through. But let's start with this. Let's start with Brad Underwood's thoughts on what he saw from his squad yesterday. course, I do need to wait for this. There it is. Wait. Because I can't play double audio, so I got to stall. This is live radio and working through a new system. I don't know. Maybe Kyle's sound drops like 3 hours long and I'll never be able to get to it. Yeah. How about in the meantime, we ask Kyle himself. Kyle, what'd you think
of it? It just ended.
Yeah, but your thoughts did not. So let's get to you.
Well, I mean, I thought the student section at least and the student turnout was really good last night. I did agree with you that there was, you know, it was a missed opportunity to really pack that place. And
it bothers me a little bit. I don't want to hammer that home and overshadow the game, but it was a little jarring that they had maybe what? I didn't see a listed attendance. Maybe
I think it was 12,000.
12,000.
That's what they say. Yeah. Because they called that one football game like 54,000 and there was nowhere near that many.
Yeah. So they should have done better.
Take that with a grain of salt. But as for the game, I mean, I'm super encouraged by it. I think I'm trying to balance it a little bit based on it being an exhibition and everything. But I think you made the point perfectly. Like, it did not feel like an exhibition at all. Those two teams were playing really hard. Shannon and McCullough were going at it all game long. I mean, those guys cared a lot. The starters were on the court all the time. So it's a real win against the number one team in the country. And to beat number one as your kind of your start of your season here unofficially is pretty encouraging. And it gives me maybe a little more confidence than I had a week ago at this time that, hey, maybe this team could be a little better than I thought.
No, yeah, I think in terms of ceiling, it might have shown a higher ceiling than some might have anticipated. I think in general, we assume this would have a higher floor than last year because of the veterans not relying on as many freshmen. Maybe the roller coaster ride isn't as turbulent up and down as last year was. But I think as you look at Illinois competing with Kansas and then comparing to, okay, you face Purdue, who's ranked in obviously a similar range in the top five, Michigan State, Illinois shouldn't be when they're on at their best. And usually when you're number one, you get somebody's best shot. I think that Illinois obviously could clean some things up based on what they played yesterday. But when you score 82 and win a ball game like that, you play like that against Purdue or Michigan State, I don't see why you can't beat them as well. So maybe we take this team a little bit more seriously in the Big Ten title chase in terms of aspirations for March and what that can look like. But we'll talk more about that as we go along. Let's get to Brad Underwood, who weighed in on what his team showed last night. Here is your Atlanta head coach.
Brad, those transfers down the stretch, Justin making a cut to the basket, Quincy going on his run. I mean, from your vantage point, what do they bring to you, especially maybe in crunch time moments?
Been there, done that. You know, I mean, and that's very, very cliche, but it's you're talking about a guy who reads the defense, and Justin makes a great cut. You're talking about a guy that everybody knows he can make a three, and he rip drives it on the play that Coleman talks about. There's no indecisiveness with veterans and with older players. And when they've been in that moment, they're not afraid to go make a play. It's comforting for me, that's for sure. And you know, I was curious today to see how they play. And, see veterans step up and make free throws as Quincy did. And, putting Marcus on the ball and telling him to handle it. And because you can't foul him because he's a 90% free throw shooter. And, there's a lot of positives that come with that. That's not to say that'll always be the case. We got some young guys that are really talented. And but it was the five today that happened to work.
I guess – with that group, I mean, knowing you have, you know, a bunch of 22 to 24-year-olds, I mean, was it your intent, like, for them to be the closers early in the season, or is that something that's developed?
I didn't have a plan. You go with it early because you think they've been through it, but it happened today. Luke's been exceptional. Today, Quincy got going. So it was Quincy's turn. Next game, it may be somebody else's. You know, Terrence had his moment. I thought that everybody who played did some positive things. It just happened to be those five guys today.
Brad, what'd you make of the competitiveness of this game? And does that show some maturity that your guys are competing, even though it's an exhibition?
Yeah, it's been a big focus. It's one of the standards that we've tried to set as being that, you know, our cliche, everyday guy, every day. We probably have had half of a bad practice. Our guys are working. Our guys are it means something to them. And it's their attention to detail is very high, but they are very, very competitive. There's not anybody in our program who's lost. And you play to win. And yeah, we needed to grow, and I played everybody in the first half, and it was a little different the second, but it was you know, every time we play, man, we're trying to hook it up. We're competitive in practice. We've worked a lot of one-on-one. We've played a lot of pickup this summer and fall just to amp the competitive side up.
What did you learn in a setting like this that maybe you wouldn't have in a closed setting?
Yeah, I mean, how you act with the game on the line and people in the stands and the pressure of that. And I don't want to say, you know, it's obviously there's no wins or losses in terms of going in a column, but it's different, you know, when you're playing in front of a boatload of fans and instead of an empty gym. And you know, some guys can step up and make shots and some can't. You know, that's the piece of that. You know, you in a scrimmage, you're playing 10-minute halves and play three or four of them and then throw a 20-minute in, and you stop and you coach and you work on situations. And tonight was very game-like, obviously. So there's a big difference.
You only had 8 assists, but it did seem like the ball moved well. It was just a lot of attacking closeouts. Is that what you would attribute that to?
It's low. But I think we're going to be a high assist team. I think we're a team that we have spent a ton of time talking about attacking closeouts, trying to get fouled, trying to spray it. So the assist total will go up. You know, again, we've got a really good isolation player in Terrence, and he hit a few. Turnovers are too high. You know, we need to be in the 10 range. Didn't like the 3 in a row that we had late in the 7-minute mark, but the assists will go up. Our ball movement was good. I thought we ran pretty good offense.
Coach, how do you feel that your team defended, especially around the rim and transition defense?
Well, I didn't have I thought Coleman was unbelievable defensively. If you guys know anything about ball screen defense and help and support, Coleman Hawkins was off the chart. I felt so comfortable with him in the game on that end. I tried a couple times to take him out, and I was like, gosh darn. One or two possession game, I said, he's just going to have to play. He's so good. His anticipation is great. You're not going to stop Hunter totally. But his positioning was good. We jammed his shoulder a few times, he was very good. I thought we've got to do a better job of, you know, some simple things. We didn't scout. You know, they hurt us in the first half with a couple pinned down screens that we were late getting to, and so they got a couple buckets. They ran a little, pocket ball screen play that was unique because it was with their 4-man with KJ. We made an adjustment late and then handled it. That'll be stuff we'll clean up with scouting. I thought it was solid. I'm still, you know, we can't commit silly fouls. I thought we committed too many of those, but we'll continue to work and grow on that in that area.
I mean, you talked, you know, a few weeks ago about just maybe taking, you know, fewer threes as, you know, as a percentage of your total shots. But I mean, are you seeing maybe something from your team where you adjust your thinking on that? I mean,
I want good shots. What I don't want is what we did last year. 15 seconds on the shot or 16 or more and shoot a contested 3. And that's what I don't want. I like seeing the ball move and pop and it becoming, be honest, a little more equal opportunity. And that's hard to say when Terrence had a night. But you know, some of the biggest plays of the game were, you know, Justin cutting because we moved the ball and Quincy hitting a three off a dribble drive. That's ball movement, and that's patience. It's okay to shoot a shot with under 10 on the shot clock if it's the best shot you can get. We had a couple possessions today where our ball movement was just phenomenal, and it was the extra pass, and we, you know, guys turned down really good shots to get a great shot. And so if that leads to a three, it leads to a three. I'm not going to tell them not to shoot it.
Coach, so late in the game, Terrence was in the huddle, looked really fired up. Can you just talk to us about just his mindset and what's been different about him this season?
Yeah, he hit his funny bone. You know, it's so hard to come in here year one and lead, no matter how old you are. And then you put him in the role of, okay, you're one of our dudes. And you got a bunch of young guys around you who don't know, and he's just so much more comfortable with his role as a leader, as an established guy. You know, a year ago at this time, he didn't know he was going to be first team All-League. He was just going out to try to figure it out, and he's so much better in practice now than he ever was last year at this time. And you know, that's contagious when one of your guys is first team all league and an all American, and he's one of your hardest working guys every day in practice.
Brad, has Justin kind of bought into the role that you want, just play hard and be that junkyard kind of role, or has he bought into that? And do you feel comfortable with him in that role?
I feel comfortable with him on the court. I know that. You know, I think his role will. I think all of our roles are undefined yet. I think we're growing in them. Simply because I don't know him yet. I tonight was better at understanding that, and I made two or three substitutions tonight, and I said, nah, it's not right. Let me just stick, you know, and because I don't know him. We're still defining those.
Brad, would you want to do this again? Would you rather do a public charity exhibition or?
Well, I love the cause. I'm all about helping other people who need the help. This was a great support. Our administration did a phenomenal job in a really quick time turning this around and putting this together. There's tremendous value in it. There's no doubt. There's also a lot of value for those private scrimmages when you can literally stop things and coach them and deal with those moments as they occur. But I'm not opposed to them. I don't know why they call them secret scrimmages.
Escape to the country at Curtis Orchard in Southwest Champaign. As the kids enjoy the playground and the petting zoo, you know, and the country store at Curtis Orchard.
This audio brought to you by Curtis Orchard. We're going to break. We'll be back. It's The Drive.
Flying Monkey Cafe. Come visit Curtis Orchard. Open now Monday through Saturday 9 to 6 and on Sundays 11 to 6. 3902 South Duncan Road in Champaign at CurtisOrchard.com.
Always a pleasure to talk about Donnie up at Long Branch Steakhouse here in beautiful downtown Gifford. Well, you know what, friends? It's never too early to make your Christmas party reservations at the Long Branch Steakhouse in Gifford. They are taking party reservations for December. Two nights already gone. Don't be left out this year. If you want a fabulous night at the Long Branch for your office party, get it done now. Connect with the Long Branch Steakhouse and book your Christmas party. Long Branch Steakhouse, beautiful downtown Gifford.
Back on The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Let's finish out the show with our thoughts on Illinois and Kansas. There's so much
I got
to break
thoughts.
Down, so many angles to go with. We were just talking off the air about Coleman Hawkins. He's so key to this team. He was key to last year's team. I think it's kind of funny that I don't blame it for the way it's played out, but you heard a lot in the offseason, especially I think when you were recruiting Ray J. Dennis and trying to go get a point guard in the portal, and even so afterwards, hey, we're not going to run as much offense through Coleman. He's not going to be burdening the playmaking role as much as he was last year. I will say kind of the forefront of it is I think that was wrong. I think he is. I think there's so much going through him on every possession. I think that Illinois right now is best playing through him in the high post, the top of the key, especially against five men. I mean, he essentially, I wouldn't say he neutralized Hunter Dickinson, but with what Coleman did with his three-point shooting.
Did a pretty damn good job.
And then spacing the floor, and then obviously not getting killed by Hunter at the other end. I mean, Hunter's day looked pretty solid in the box score.
He had 22 and 9, right? But it took him 20 shots to get.
It was a fake 22.
I don't think he was very good for the most part. I will say it seemed like it didn't until late in the game. Kansas was like, oh, yeah, if we get Hunter a post touch within 3 feet, he's probably going to score it.
Uh-huh.
Hunter, for whatever reason, came out early in that game and was shooting little, like, runner touch shots from the free throw line, which weren't working. Then he banks in an Eric Gordon three with about 10 minutes left in the first half because he looked like he was unraveling a little bit. But I guess the short of it is Coleman is going to serve a big playmaking role.
Big.
And if he shoots the three at a decent rate, is he going to make 4 threes most games like he did yesterday? Probably not. If he does, obviously he's going to be a first-round draft pick. But I think that he's so crucial. And him and Terrence in tandem yesterday were the reason you won the game.
Oh, I'm with you. And I think he's underrated defensively. I don't think the average fan understands that how what he can bring to the table defensively, guarding a five especially, and then if you need to, a four, et cetera. I think he's a pretty good passer. He does always seemingly have that one pass a game where you're like, I don't think he had it last night, but sometimes you're like, what were you doing? And sometimes his shots are certainly, you know, I've always said, like, the layman fan will judge a player on offense because they don't really understand how good they are defensively or the intangibles they bring to a game, but I can tell you if somebody went 1 for 8,
yes.
I can tell you didn't have a very good game. Now he may have had 7 rebounds, 4 assists, made, you know, 2 critical defensive stops down the stretch to where a coach would say, he's my player of the game. I don't care about that. He went 1 for 8. So that's where, you know, the fan in us goes, well, no, that's how can he be he only scored 3 points. I think Coleman is one of those that he's an easy target. And unfortunately, because he's been around, we've seen his warts for 4 years, and I think he's one of those easy guys to just kind of badmouth, when in reality, Bill Self said after the game, now this is arguably the best coach in the country, saying that was the hardest mismatch of the game, is trying to figure out what we're going to do with Coleman. So because of that, now if you think about it, that's taken a lot of time out of Kansas's plate at practice and such. Now, granted, this is an exhibition game, so I'm sure they weren't putting in the same type of, you know, whatever it takes leading up to a regular season game or even a tournament game. But certainly a lot of what they were probably trying to do is figure out how to stop Coleman. And I guarantee you in the Big Ten, a lot of coaches are sitting there saying, all right, now what do we do with this 6'10", 6'11 dude that can take you outside and hit threes and also be really good on passes, make a lot of key decisions. And he's pretty good actually down low as a defender too. So I feel like Coleman maybe sometimes unfairly gets a little bit of some pushback from Illini fans. And there have been games in the past where he deserved it. But I don't think we realize how important he is to this team.
No, I think that's well said for sure, because there usually is a lightning rod for criticism. I think especially on the note when you're talking about just kind of box score watching offensively and kind of judging the player by that. I thought of Demonte Williams a lot of times where people were like, oh, how could Demonte be out there and play? Now, that when he went, amazingly, like 10 Big Ten games in a row without scoring, then I understand why you might say something like that. But obviously Coleman is a more accomplished offensive player than Demonte was. But there's times where he takes questionable shots, like when you're getting annoyed with the step back threes last year. Coleman was a culprit of that, and he's had some passes to the other team and being a little bit too loosey-goosey with the ball.
Yep.
But I think that so far he had maybe one drive and step back shot yesterday I think for the most part, the catch and shoot stuff is really good.
I agree. He hit the step back top smooth. Of the key, by the
he
way.
He did hit. I mean, that, yeah, late bailed out of
big
I want to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
That where the offensive possession breaks down, Coleman has the ball, realizes there's nothing else really going, and he just stepped back threes in front of Hunter Dickinson's face, and he really needed that. I thought there were some signs late. Well, Illinois did prevail. They made that shot. Coleman makes the pass to Harmon late for a bucket that was as key as any. But there were some signs. It was like, this is going to be interesting late in games.
That's a good point.
Closing without a point guard. Because
especially when the biggest weakness we perceive outside shooting is was your strength last night in those times.
Yeah.
When you needed those biggest buckets, then all of a sudden, Guerrier hit one from the baseline. Although that was a fairly well-run offensive execution. But to your point, and then I interrupted you, I mean, Coleman bails you out. Shannon made a couple of, you know, nice threes that, are, you know, Self even said after the game, is McCullers going to be that good every night? Is Shannon going to play like that and shoot like that every night? I got his point. His point was, no, they're not. But you're right, and I see where you're going here because – while Ty Rogers was utilized early in that game, he wasn't late.
Mm-hmm.
And Marcus Damask brought the ball up a lot, but he's not exactly going to penetrate the lane and kick. So I'm with you. Like, in late game situations, you got away with it last night because the threes went in. They dropped. But, yeah, does that still happen? There's going to be games that's not, they don't.
Right. I think on the whole, I liked the – for the most part, the flow and the ball movement of the offense. There were moments where it was really pretty. We talked about off the air. There's the clip on Twitter of them. Really, everybody, all five guys touch the ball on the court. It swings around the perimeter, and Damask ends up with a three. And the transition one as well, that Illinois gets a steal.
Yes.
Coleman passes it to Damask, who pump fakes, draws the defender. He gives it back to Coleman, who makes a three. I mean, that's unselfish, heady basketball from a veteran team that I really, really liked. But there were stretches where Illinois, you could tell, doesn't have a point guard on the floor, and I thought that they got away with some stuff late in the game, in particular the Coleman three that he made on the step back, and then Terrence looked to be trapped deep in the backcourt at one point, got fouled and bailed out of it a little bit, but we'll see, because you're not, at least in that example, I'm not saying that Ty Rogers will never be on the floor in a close game late when you have a lead, but he's a 38-39% free throw shooter until he's not. So Brad made the choice last night not to play Ty late. And if they're going to go with that lineup, there will be some teams. Because naturally when you're down, you're playing a more in-your-face pressure defense. And Illinois has got to be able to execute late possessions to pull out victories. I'm just going to be interested to see how that looks.
I think it's interesting, too, because I had told you guys when we were listening to Brad, I said, you know, I don't know that Kansas is the number one team in the country. Now, will they be a lot better in March? You know they will be. But they played heavy minutes of their starters. They're All-American guard. They're All-American big man. They both played 36 to 38 minutes of basketball. McCullers looked like an All-American, and he can be. He can do that every night. He played 36, 38 minutes. Kansas wanted to win that game.
Of course.
And Illinois, like you said going into the break the last time, led for 36 minutes out of 40. Now, you were at home, a little bit of emotional night, I would assume, although I don't know that emotions really played that big of a part in it. And I think Kansas defensively was not, I don't think Bill was very happy with the way they played defense, but you got to give Illinois credit. You've got a lot of strong guys. And you're talking about, we talk about experience this year being an older squad as opposed to last year, guys that know how to use their body, guys that understand if something's breaking down, well, I'm going to take you off the dribble. Sincere did it on a nice dribble drive. Ty did it a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Damask used his body to get down. Guerrier forced a shot, got the rebound, the putback. And so you're seeing, and then, of course, Shannon, we know what he can do when he gets downhill. He's not necessarily physical, but he's more physical than you think. Like Jay Layman said, he could be a tight end. I don't know. Like Kyle had mentioned, you know, that was a good win. And I'm like, that was a really good win.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm trying not to get crazy here, but you controlled that basketball game for 90% of it against the number one team in the country. Now, is Kansas number one? I'd probably put Purdue over them. There might be a couple of others I'd put over them.
Purdue just lost in their exhibition game to
Arkansas. That's right. So is Kansas a top 10 team? Yeah. And Illinois just controlled them.
They did. They did. I mean, when you're number one, you're going to get somebody's best shot. And I think with the way Illinois shot the three, particularly Shannon and Coleman, that
helped.
That helps a lot because there's games where, you know, Terrence last year, he hits, what, 8 threes against UCLA, 5 against Syracuse,
yeah,
both in November. Then December and on, he shoots 27% from three. So he's been streaky. Coleman's been streaky from three. They'll be nice where those guys don't hit and can Damask and Guerrier, Goody pick up the pieces in those type of games to be able to win if that were to happen. But I think it's great, kind of a bigger picture on it, and I got 2 points to make on this. Is number one, last night didn't feel as fluky maybe as the UCLA game because of winning for 36 minutes.
Yep.
Where UCLA last year, yes, you beat a top 10 team and it ends up looking really good on your resume. You stormed back from down, what, 13,
right.
15?
Right.
At half or their early second half, and how repeatable was that? Texas, you look dead in the water. MSG was about 10 minutes to go. You're down 10. You come back. And look, those wins, they counted as wins. They were huge triumphs that you needed on the resume just to make the tournament. You don't get both of those. You're definitely not making it. Maybe even if you just get one, maybe you're on the bubble and sweating that thing. But last night, because of being out in front the entire time, felt like it was more repeatable or more real. I don't know if you know what I'm saying on that.
I know exactly what you're saying, and I agree 100%.
Yes.
And I think yes, the shots went down.
Yeah.
And that is going to be a storyline for a lot of the season, whether they go down or not. Maybe after 12 games, maybe it's not a storyline anymore, to the point where we're like, well, you know what? I mean, Goody's shot didn't go last night, so you hopefully count for him to get at least one or two threes. I think Damask can make a couple of threes each game. I mean, it's not a fluke that Damask hit a three. It's not a fluke that Guerrier hit a three. Those guys have done that
right, in
their college careers. I've never seen Justin Harmon, so I'm not sure if he's the guy that's going to go out and hit you a three. Coleman can do what he did last night. Shannon, we know, can be good. Why couldn't it be like that most of the year? I mean, Terrence Shannon, to me, is an All-American player, right? I mean, he's got that ability.
He's at his best, yes.
Why can't – I mean, he averaged, what, 20-some a game last year? Why can't
– 18.
Or 18. Why can't he average 22 a game? Why can't Coleman do what he did last night and get you 14, 15, 16 points a game? I just feel like this team is comprised of so many veterans and experience that – I don't know that this is the kind of team that's going to fall behind by 15, whereas last year's team did. I just don't sense that. Like, and the way they play, you know, it's like I almost get to the point where there's been times in the past where Illinois is getting beat by, let's say, 8, and they just keep doing the same thing. They just keep trying to run with teams, or they keep trying to, like, those guys, this team's not going to try to run with teams necessarily all the time. If they want to slow it down, they can. I think there's a lot of different weapons on this team that's going to make it a pretty good team.
It felt like things
I
were
quit saying the word team.
Things were more crisp. No, that's fine because Illinois really wasn't a great team last year.
They had talent. I'm with you.
But when you put it all together and tried to mix it all up, it never meshed like you could. Yep. So I think this squad finding out how to be a team is really, really important. And it's a small sample size, but so far the indications are good of the way that those guys are meshing. I think the guys that you brought in via the portal fit in well. And
yes.
So far, we'll see what happens when guys don't get the minutes they want and how they react and what that means for the locker room and whatnot. That's what happens when you have a deep team. That some guys are going to be unhappy and some talented players aren't going to get in. But as of right now, I like how that is working. I like how just more of a veteran – high IQ in terms of the way they cut. Another thing about yesterday, I know we're running short on time here. They were gritty.
Like, yeah, they are.
The effort plays was something different than last year. Like, Illinois really out-toughed Kansas, it felt like. The way that they were diving on the floor, jumping out of bounds for the loose balls. I mean, they had 13 offensive rebounds. And then you look at the free throw differential, especially in the second half. Illinois got to the line 26 times in the second half, 12 for Kansas. That tells me that's a team that's physical.